Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center. Our friend, the Apostle Paul, he challenges us. He says in Philippians 4, I have learned in whatever situation I am in, therein to be content. He says in Hebrews 13, it says, and be content with what you have. And it goes on throughout Scripture to really command that we just enjoy what we have and be content with what we have. I would ask, is that just theoretical, or is that idealistic, or is that someday in the future? Do you wrestle with this thing of being content with what you have or don't have today? A little bit more. That's what John D. Rockefeller said. Just a little bit more money would make him happy. How about you? Let's talk money today. Specifics on being intentional.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. So how are you doing with your money? Do you need just a little bit more? Call now. Our lines are open. 1-888-888-1717. Now to help you be intentional with your finances, here's Randy.
Okay, thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living Center. I open the lines to you today to talk about, in your own situation, maybe you have wrestled with this. Maybe you say, listen, I understand what the Bible teaches, but y'all don't understand how tough it really can be here and being content. How have you learned to be content? What do you wrestle with? Maybe how you've gotten there? Come and join us. You know, I heard someone the other day, it was a very well-known secular singing artist, who was talking about corporate greed and about, people and wealth and our culture and so on. And this was a guy who's a multimillionaire and lives with wealth. And I think sometimes people who talk about this thing when it comes to contentment are talking about criticizing those not being satisfied with what they have. Is it because they have enough or isn't it? What about those, maybe you, and you wrestle on the other side? How have you learned to be content? This is a spiritual thing. You know, the Apostle Paul did say in Philippians 4, not that I'm speaking of being in need, but he says, for I have learned whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then as I read in Hebrews 13, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For as he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. 1 Timothy 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of it. For if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. Jesus, Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more than they? And the scripture goes on. You know, it says more about stuff than heaven and hell combined. Because I think this is, we're touching the nerve of the real value topic of our lives. Who we are, why we're here, how we look at things. What does our bank account look like? How do we manage checking and credit? And how do we give or don't give? And how do we hold back? And about generosity and about an attitude towards stuff, ownership versus stewardship. Things that we've all heard preached if we've been in church much. But how about you? I'd ask just the simple, basic question of those of us as Christians today. How have you dealt with this thing of being content? What is it you do? What have you learned? 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is David. And on Intentional Living, you made a comment about with the economic crisis that we're in, if you lost a job, how God may have made it possible for you to want to move on to something different. I left a job where I was making $165,000 a year to a job where I'm making about $75,000. And the job that I'm doing now is a lot less stressful. It allows me a lot more time to spend with Christ, study my Bible, It allows me a lot more time to hang out with my friends and family. So I would like to say that money's not everything. I know that we live in a society where the more you make and the more you acquire, it seems to define who you are. But what really defines who you are is how you live your life for Christ.
That's so true. All right, let's add into the discussion today, Michael, live on phone in Arizona today. Hi there, Michael.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Good, good. I appreciate your call. How do you relate to this thing about money and contentment? What have you learned?
Well, I would say that I am still in the school learning contentment. We had fortunately, we've been able to sell our home just before the real estate crash, and you know, as a result of that, had an influx of income that you know that we never had before. Me personally, never had coming from a home of pretty significant poverty, and where things were bought from one side of the family to show love and communicate value through purchasing things, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. I didn't realize how much of that was rooted in my life and how much I translated that over to God. And I assigned that value perspective to Him in my relationship. And so to have that kind of money really kind of freaked me out. And I tried to control it and hold on to it. And it just, like the proverb said, it just grew wings and flew away. Hmm. And it was a lot of foolish spending, a lot of just a lot of things that I thought we needed, but we really didn't. And turned out that we had a significant trauma in the family that was health-related that caused us to lose everything except our home and our family. I lost my job, was out of work for about a year. And I had to learn that God was good and that He was faithful to provide. I knew those intellectually, but I didn't know them experientially, and I didn't know them at the heart level. And so it took me going through the fire of, and some real wrestling matches of, I need to see your goodness right now, today. And His faithfulness coming through and developing that history in Him on my own. It wasn't my mom's faith or my grandmother's faith, it was mine. So I can say I'm still learning that, and we've come through the other side to where we've had a lot of what was lost replenished, if you will, but I look at it and I still wrestle with feelings of elation when there's an influx, and I have to talk myself into, you know, everything that I have is His, I'm a steward, and then being in agreement with my wife has been probably the biggest key. Walking with her, she's been so faithful over the years with money given to her for graduation and college, and she's just a that's her biggest motivation, is to be faithful to the Lord in every area. And she and I went at it for many years. And once I submitted to the Lord's leadership and how He was speaking through my wife and became obedient to His principles, that's when contentment started to grow. And then I felt like He could trust me. And she even affirmed that a couple weeks ago. She said, I think you passed some tests, and that's why the Lord is allowing you to experience some abundance.
Well, I hear contentment in your voice. I hear a student in your voice, Michael. You're learning like we all are. But, you know, when we either get bitter when we go through things or we learn and we apply them to our life, sound like that's what you've done. God bless you. Appreciate your call, man.
Thanks so much.
All right. We're talking contentment here today, learning contentment. What are we learning in the process? Come join us, 888-888-1717. Let's get Jennifer here on the line, too. Jennifer, what have you learned about contentment?
You know, Paul's scripture that I have learned to be content in every situation doesn't necessarily mean for every situation. But, you know, God knows the desires of our heart, and He knew that we really wanted to have our kids in Christian school, which, you know, is a big fat car payment. So we've been content to drive older cars. We've been content to have a yard that isn't finished, because we've seen our school administrator assured us that God knew the desire of our heart and that He would be our provider. And for years now, He has provided. Sometimes we don't know how. We don't know where the next month's tuition is coming, but He's provided for our kids to stay in Christian school.
How on a contentment scale, how well are you doing, 1 to 10?
Well, on a general level, I would say probably a 7 or an 8. because we invest in experiences with our kids. We don't invest in stuff. When somebody gets a new car, okay, that day I might feel like a two.
And that's the comparative thing that I think is pretty clearly what happens so often. We get in social settings and we kind of live in a certain level with other people. We all kind of hang around with people like ourselves. And I mean, it's just the way human beings are. That tends to be our association. And that can be based on education or interest or our faith. It can be based on social economic issues. And when you see someone within your group do better, that's very tempting to say, well, how come I'm not doing better in this practical area? And the other thing about money is something you can measure. You can see stuff, houses, cars, bank accounts, vacations. Those are things you can see and measure. You can't measure what's really going on in a person's heart. Are they really happier? Probably not. But we can measure the outside stuff. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. How about you? What have you learned about this contentment thing and money? 888-888-1717.
Yes. Hello, Randy. I'm calling because I've just been through the death of my father and my stepmother within the past month. I've learned this past year that money is not the priority in life, which I already knew, but a sibling of mine didn't, and she split up the family with it, with will issues. So please, everyone, don't focus on money because we won't have it when we get up to eternity. It's not the most important thing in life, and I definitely learned that this past year. God bless everyone. Goodbye.
It's very true. We either learn or we don't learn on these things. Hey, can I give you some just real basic things, kind of an ABC approach to what I think we need to look at money, how we should look at money from an intentional living standpoint? And I put it in ABC acrostic so it made sense to me, because I think like this, kind of bottom line basic. For the letter A, I think what's really critical within a family setting and within a marriage in particular is to have agreement, to agree on how you're going to spend the money that comes through your hands. If you and your spouse cannot agree on the purpose of money, the placement of money, the savings, the tithing, all of that, that creates an undercurrent of disruption, confusion, hurt, frustration in the marriage and in the family. Agreement is huge. Coming to an agreement, even if you agree to disagree at times, but agreement is important. For the letter B, I think it's important just to build some sort of a spending plan, a budget if you care to call it. I know that's kind of a dirty word for some people, but a plan that's basic for you guys. Looking at how much comes in and how much goes out. We preach at Intentional Living and teach 10-10-80. We believe that if you start early in your life at a basic level of at least 10%, that's the tithe, 10% going into investments and savings, setting it aside for the future, and there's lots of ways that that can be done, and learning to live on 80%, that over the long term, if you start that when you're 20 or 25 years old, and you maintain that pattern, just imagine, you do the math, it's huge, it's substantial. Maybe later in life, you're going to have to, instead of save 10%, have to save 15 or 20% to get there by the years when you need to slow down. But can we learn to live on 80% or 70% or 60% of what comes in? Oh, how is that possible? It's a decision. But build a spending plan. Then number three, celebrate milestones. If you set aside a goal as a family to develop an emergency fund, celebrate that when you reach it. Or a 3 months of living expense set aside in savings. Celebrate that when you get there. If you've gotten to a place where you've decided to get out of debt, when you get out of debt, celebrate that. Celebrate it. Now, it doesn't mean you have to spend a bunch of money, but do something to say, hey, throw yourself a party, okay? Marissa, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi there. What have you learned about contentment and money?
Well, I've learned that obviously God is going to provide in any situation, as, you know, when you're serving Him and obeying Him. I've learned that, you know, no matter what your financial situation is, as long as you're, you know, properly tithing. I've just started tithing. I just moved out of my parents' house, and I live with a friend, and I get paid $7.90 an hour, and I make a very low income, and I have to pay for school. But I've started tithing, and God has, like, He's just blessed me. completely financially. I mean, he's opened the door for another job that's going to pay me close to $18 an hour. And, he's just opened so many doors for me. I mean, even when there were times when I couldn't afford to pay my own bills, some like little house sitting job or something would pay me like $150 and I'd just be able to pay my bills that month. Or if I didn't have gas, I would get a phone call from someone and they'd be like, hey, I'm going to fill up your tank. Or like, it would just be something like that. And Job 36, chapter 11 is something that really stuck out to me and like my walk with Christ when I've been reading the Bible. And it says that they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. And God has truly shown me that through the past couple of months of me, you know, obeying him and serving him. And it's just something that I felt like I should share.
Terrific. Marissa, congratulations. Here's a young woman, what, $7.50 an hour and looking to the future. But if you can learn to be content at $7.50 an hour, it's going to be a whole lot easier when it's $16, $18, $20 an hour or whatever. It's a decision we make. And I know it's tough for some, many, maybe for you. I understand that. And it can be tough no matter what level you're at if there's a lack of learning to be content and managing what you have. Thank you, Marissa. Appreciate it. Talking about contentment and money and being intentional today from the Intentional Living Center.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. So, do you need just a little bit more? Well, Dr. Randy's got more for you coming up. Helping you to be intentional for your life, we are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
What if experiencing peace, finding purpose, being healthy in body and mind was as simple as listening to a CD or watching a DVD? That's exactly what can happen when you spend time with an Intentional Living Study Kit from best-selling author and speaker Dr. Randy Carlson. Need help with parenting? How about your marriage? Wondering how to become debt-free? Dr. Carlson teaches biblical insights for personal or group study. Visit theintentionallife.com. Go to resources and click on the store link.
When you take a trip, you take a guide or a map along. While you're on your intentional journey, you want to be victorious in the areas of your life that matter most. So take the Intentional Living e-newsletter with you. Delivered to your inbox each week, it'll help you be intentional in your faith, family, health, finances, and work. You'll stay focused on living an intentional life for Christ. It's inspiration, help, and insights delivered right to your email every week. Sign up to receive the Intentional Living e-newsletter today at theintentionallife.com.
Who's got your attention? This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
Joshua Bell is one of the great artists of our generation. Fans of classical music pay upwards of $100 to hear him perform. Not long ago, Mr. Bell participated in an experiment. He entered a Washington, D.C. subway station during rush hour, stood against the wall by a trash can, and played his Stradivarius for 43 minutes, like any other street musician. As he elegantly played the great classics, 1,097 people passed by. Only 7 stopped to listen, and just 27 gave money, a total of $32. In our hurry to get someplace else, or in our quest for riches, could we be missing out on the masterpiece God has set before us? Stop and listen. God has something beautiful for you today. For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robinson.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. There's an old gospel song that goes, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, whether you're standing, sitting, kneeling, or flat on your back, if you need prayer, join our prayer community. You could have people all around the world praying for you. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on Inspiration, then click on Prayer Community. And after you've shared your prayer request, why not pray for someone else? Then click I prayed for this person. Again, that's at theintentionallife.com. Randy?
All right, welcome back here to the Intentional Living Center. We're talking about money today and about contentment. And that doesn't mean that we don't work hard to provide, and maybe you need to consider getting more training to look to be able to earn more for your family. But within whatever state we're in, learning to be content doesn't mean that we become satisfied and not trying to better our family, our life, or serve others and so on. Let's not confuse those two. Contentment is just saying, hey, this is where I am, and I've learned to, when I have a lot or when I have a little, to be content because I know God will take care of me. Alicia, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What have you learned about money and contentment?
Well, I know that you can depend on the Lord for anything. I'm actually expecting a little boy right now.
Congratulations.
In a couple weeks. And I was in a bad relationship before, one that got me out of the Lord's will and so forth, and I became dependent on the situation. And I wanted to leave, and I remember praying to the Lord to help me out of it, but I was so scared to move because I was afraid I wouldn't have anything. And then I did get pregnant, and I looked at that as the Lord saying, hey, you need to do what's right as a mother, and I think he knew what I would do. I moved out to Tucson, Arizona from Colorado, and I just got an apartment. I mean, it's nothing super, but it's exactly what I need. And the Lord has blessed me tremendously. I mean, there are times I'd be happy with nothing. I can't say who exactly, but my doctor, he's actually got me a brand new crib, and that is such a blessing because I didn't have anything. A friend said that she was going to give me her old one and it had been sent away, and I was so depressed. But, you know, the Lord had better plans, far, you know, more greater for me to handle. And I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time, but as I've heard from your radio, and it's been a blessing to me too, is you're content with nothing, you're happy with everything, and it's tremendous how much the little things can bless you.
Humbling. Thank you, Alicia, and welcome to Tucson. And we wish you the very best as you get plugged into the community and serve God and trust him. We pray you'll be prospering, flourishing, thriving is what we talk about here, that you'll thrive in your life. God bless you. It's good to hear your story. Josh, quickly from Texas, how has contentment made a difference in your life?
It's definitely made life a little easier for us. Even listening today clarified some things. Me and my wife were lucky enough to both change jobs here recently and pretty much, you know, double our income. And you hit that American attitude, you know, make more, spend more. And we're actually debating on getting a new house or not. We've only been in our house for a very short amount of time. But listening to everybody talk about, we haven't started a family yet, and listening to that lady talk about being able to send her kids to a Christian school, a private school, where they can receive a good education and a daily lesson in God's word would mean way more than, you know, another 1,000 square feet ever could. So today definitely just clarified a bunch of stuff for me. It was pretty much like a sign.
Good. Well, hey, listen, that's why we're in community. We believe intentional living family encourages one another. We do that online, on Facebook, on Twitter. We do it in our conferences. And they're just men and women, all of us together, simple in terms of our message. Figure out what pleases Christ and do it. Keep our priorities straight and live the purpose of why we're on the planet. So if that's been directive for you today and helpful, I'm glad you tuned in.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you. And you keep that kind of an attitude, and I'll tell you, it'll change your life for sure. No question about it.
I think it's important to ask the question why. And some of us, when we ask the question why am I in business? If you're fatigued today and you're worn out and you're about ready to give up, is it because you have never answered the question of why? Am I doing this because Dad did it? My mom did it? Am I doing it because that's just what this family does? Or am I really feeling that God has me to be here for a purpose? One of the mistakes we make in our family business is never getting to a place where we ask the question, why am I doing this?
That's a great question in life in general, isn't it? Why? Why? And by the way, I just want to mention that coming up on October the 13th, we're taking the Family Business Conference that was a wildly received positive success in Scottsdale, Arizona, a couple months ago, and we're condensing this into a one-day event, and our next stop will be Michigan, mid-Michigan, October the 13th. Got some great teaching. We have family business experts. We have some real people from family businesses sharing, and all the information will be up on our website very soon for registration, but we have a very limited space capacity for this day. And so I want you to circle the date, and as soon as you hear the announcement here in the next week, we want you to get registered. We want you to come. It's going to be a great day for families and business, mid-Michigan, for people anywhere to come and join us again, October the 13th. And that teaching is a representation of what we send out every month, a brand new teaching for men and women, for people who support the Ministry of Intentional Living as we help you live your life in your marriage, your family, in the areas of leadership personally, for singles, for each of us, that we would live our lives intentionally in Christ. And every month, a brand new teaching from us to you. Next month on the topic, Sharpen Your Edge in Life. And then in September, one question that can change your life forever. A couple of really important topics coming up. If you're not a member, man, come and join us today. Love to have you. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4.
Me and my wife were lucky enough to both change jobs here recently and pretty much double our income. And you hit that American attitude, make more, spend more.
How have you learned to be content? This is a spiritual thing. You know, the Apostle Paul did say in Philippians 4, not that I'm speaking of being in need, but he says, for I have learned whatever situation I'm in to be content.
We're actually debating on getting a new house or not. We've only been in our house for a very short amount of time. We haven't started a family yet. And listen to that lady talk about being able to send her kids to a Christian school.
You know, God knows the desires of our heart, and He knew that we really wanted to have our kids in Christian school. So we've been content to drive older cars. We've been content to have a yard that isn't finished.
They can receive a good education, and a daily lesson in God's Word would mean way more than another 1,000 square feet ever could. So today definitely just clarified a bunch of stuff for me. It was pretty much like a sign.
That's good. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. We always love hearing from you. This has been a good program today. I hope that you've learned some things for your life about the power of contentment, true contentment in Christ. Tomorrow, we're going to turn the corner and talk about misunderstandings. You know, they occur in marriage and business and between you and your friends. And what is the fine art of being intentional with misunderstandings? And that's going to be our topic coming up next time. Love to hear from you. Again, we're here at theintentionallife.com. God bless you.